2 Peter. Amen. And we'll try to read 2 Peter chapter 3 is where I'd like to begin reading. I was in Hazard, Kentucky last month, Brother Gabbard, and the Lord dealt with me about this, and I preached it there, and I felt like the Lord dealt with me to preach it everywhere I go this summer, and so that's what I've tried to do. And so if you've heard me preach this before, chances are if you go somewhere else, you hear me preach it again, because I really felt like the Lord dealt with me. So I'll do the best I can. I'll try to be as brief as I can. And so let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise,
all right,
but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. The book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalm 103, verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Verse number 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy. One final verse of scripture, familiar passage found in Psalms chapter number 8. Verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? Amen. Would you stand? Amen. Would you stand across this sanctuary, tabernacle?
Hallelujah.
Would you pray and ask the Lord to help us right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, would you help me right now in the name of Jesus? And everybody said, amen. I would think that if we took a poll of this congregation this morning, and I'm not going to try to get into rapture doctrine and whether you believe the Lord's coming back before, during, or after. But I remember the first time that I preached here, and that's been some years ago now. I believe it was 1987, I think was the year. I remember saying then, and I still feel the same way, I personally feel that the Lord's either coming back before, during, or after the tribulation. And I'm quite convinced that it'll be one of those times, and I'll leave it at that. But I am quite certain, and I think you would agree, that we are in the last days. Can you say amen? You really feel like that we are in the last hour? And if not, God have mercy on that generation that is. We have seen things in our nation in the last little while that has absolutely just, it has troubled me as it has you. We have watched in the last month or so, the Supreme Court, the final court of authority in the United States, rule in the case regarding DOMA, or the Defense of Marriage Act, that was unconstitutional. And that homosexuals and lesbians have a legal right to be married.
We have found that state after state in this nation has agreed to that and has allowed such to occur. I remember when I was a young boy, I never dreamed we would see such being debated, let alone legalized. But that's where we're at right here in America. And you may as well mark it down. As the trend goes on, we are just one vote away on the U.S. Supreme Court from every state constitutional amendment prohibiting that from being overturned and that being legalized. And we realize that that in and of itself is a sign of divine judgment. I was asking God not long ago, if you listen to the media in any form or fashion, you would almost get the impression that every other person in America is a homosexual or a lesbian because they have so pushed it down our throat. But the statistics are only 3-5% of Americans actually consider themselves to be that way. But I was asking God about it. Lord, why have we seen this explosion? And it's not only here, but it's around the world. And in Canada right now, it is against the law to preach against that sin. And I was speaking to a Baptist lady not long ago who has a son-in-law in Canada. And he was a fundamental Baptist. And he had already received a letter from the authorities informing him that he was not to preach against such things. Well, now you mark it down. It won't be long. That's exactly the way that it's going to be here in America. Amen. Don't you think that in a little while, amen, they're not going to come against us with hate speech. Amen. And but I was asking God about this, and I felt like the Lord nudged me over to Romans chapter 1, where the Bible said, Paul said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, that word reprobate in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, sometimes I have a little problem with English, but that word Greek in the Greek means castaway. And so when Paul said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God cast them away. Basically, the context is men and women said to God, God, we don't want you. And God said, fine, I don't want you either. And so where we are at in America, we have so said to God, we don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our courtrooms. We don't want you in our legislative assemblies. And so God has now said, fine, I don't want you either. And if that's what you want, I'll turn you over. We know that part of the judgment of sin, amen, is to go deeper into sin. For the deeper that men and women go into sin, the farther away from God they get. Amen. So we have seen this onslaught of this perverted spirit in our land, and I believe it is a sign of divine judgment. And God is saying to us as a nation, fine, I don't want you either. Amen. We have seen the hand of God in natural disasters and calamities, and I dare say you can mark it down. You're going to see a lot more effects of global warming in days to come, but it'll not be global warming. It will be the divine judgment of Almighty God. Amen. Now, the thing that concerns me is not so much that spirit in the world, but that stinking spirit showing itself in the church and in the house of God. Amen. And I don't know how it is. It's been a long time, but I'm seeing a lot more places, some even in our holiness ranks, where it looks like we need to have classes to teach our young men how to be men. And quit acting like a bunch of limp-wristed sissies. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But you mark it down in a little while. I dare say that if God tarries, the day will come. These doors will open. Homosexuals and lesbians will demand the right to come in this church, march up on this platform, and take their part. You say it'll never happen. Just recently we were in Tennessee, and I was talking to a man in Gatlinburg. He owned the store there. And this man said he had two friends that came from the north to his shop when they were there in the area. And he said he was talking to them. These were successful businessmen. But one in particular said he refused to sell his goods to a homosexual organization. This man, Brother Flowers, printed t-shirts and with logos, and there was a homosexual organization that came and demanded that he sell to them. He said no. They took him to court, and would you guess who owns the business now? Amen. It's not the man, but it's that bunch of perverts. And there was another man who had everything he had taken away by that group. Amen. I'm telling you, we are living in a wicked hour, and it is getting worse by the day. Amen. And as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, amen, we are going to see divine judgment as we have never seen it before. Amen. But in spite of all of that, amen, I want you to remember today, in spite of all of that, amen, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. I'd like to tell you here today, it makes no difference how far out in sin they are. It is still the will of God that every man, woman, boy, and girl be born again. Amen. That means even your lost daughter. That means your lost son. That means the one that you've been praying for. Amen. It's still the will of God that every one of them be saved and brought to an altar of repentance. Amen. Now here we are gathered in this assembly today, and by the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to be as brief as I can. But I dare say here today, there's more than one of you that have been praying for your lost. How many of you got lost loved ones out there? Raise your hand. Is there anybody that'll since raise your hand, or raise your hand now, that the devil has told you there is no hope? Has the devil told anybody, amen, they've gone too far now? Has God, has anybody heard that word from the devil? Raise your hand. Amen. When I felt like God dealt with me to come here and tell you, amen, and remind you what you already know, regardless of what the devil has told you, it is still the will of God for your lost boy to be saved. Amen. And it's still the will of God, amen, that your lost daughter find a place of repentance and find forgiveness in the Father's house. I'm telling you, the devil has lied, but I'm here to remind you today that God, amen, is rich in mercy and still would like to deliver from sin. Amen. I must hurry. Amen. Come on, raise your hand one more time. You've heard the lie of the devil. Amen. Amen. Pardon me as I digress for just a moment now, and I'll try again to be as brief as I can. The year was 1905. There was an obscure physicist and cosmologist who was relatively unknown. He appeared on the scene in the scientific community and literally turned the scientific community up on its head, if you will. Amen. This individual produced in a series of four writings or publications what came to be known as his general theory of relativity. Amen. Albert Einstein. Anybody ever heard that? Amen. Albert Einstein said in his general theory of relativity, which was denoted by E equals MC squared, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Now you're looking at me like, what does that mean? Well, when I get through, I don't have time. I'll let Brother Daniel explain all that to you. Amen. But what Einstein proved was, with his theory that has now been proven to the fifth decimal point, he proved conclusively that time, space, and matter, the realm in which we live, all three of those came into existence at a single moment in time. Well, there was no time, so it all came into existence at the same moment. There was a time when there was no time, space, or matter. But in a split instant, all three of them came into existence simultaneously. Amen. We live in the realm of time, space, and matter. We live in the realm of time. Amen. Who's got a watch? Anybody? What time is it, Brother Jeff? Amen. Look real quick, like, what time is it? It is 12:13, and already you're saying 12:13. We were supposed to eat at 12 o'clock. Because we all live in the realm of time. We will start tonight, youth service 6. Amen. The regular service at 8 o'clock. We live in the realm of space, here and there. Right here over yonder. Amen. We also live in the realm of the material. I have a material body. That is a material wall. If I try to take body through wall, amen, a calamity will occur. Because I am material, Brother Gabbard, and that wall is material. But one thing we know about the Creator, amen, that the creation cannot be any greater than the Creator. So if God, amen, created time, space, and matter, He must be outside of time, space, and matter. Amen. And by that we mean that God is not bound by any start time. He can declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times. The things that will yet be. Amen. I'm feeling better. Amen. We live in the realm of space, here and there. God is outside of space. He can be here and there at the same time. I said He can be right here and He can be over there at the exact same moment. Can somebody say amen? Our oldest daughter, Rachel, is in Hong Kong right now. She's been there several weeks. We'll be there a few more. She's been working for the Lord. Amen. Hong Kong is under the jurisdiction of China. And so in our phone conversations and in our emails, we have to be very careful. We cannot say, I'm going to camp meeting at Broxton, nothing regarding church or anything of that nature, because the government can be listening in on the conversation, kind of like our government, you know. Amen. So be careful. Amen. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and they said, be careful what you say now. They're listening. That just made me want to say it a whole lot more. Amen. And I'll tell you what I said. I said, I think Eric Holder needs to step down and resign. And if he can get the president to do it, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm getting political here, and that's not in my notes. Amen. But anyhow, our oldest daughter, Brother Gabbert, you know Rachel. Amen. She sent us an email back home, Brother Peacha. And this is what she said. She said, I was over here alone by myself. She's with a group, but they're not holiness. But she said, I was alone. Amen. She said, and then I went and started talking with our friend. Amen. And said, I felt my friend here too. Hallelujah. I don't understand how he can do it. He can be in Hong Kong right now. Amen. And in this tabernacle. Hallelujah. There's only one explanation. Daniel said, there is a God in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He is outside of space. Amen. Hallelujah. Time and material. You see, I have to open the door to go through the door. But He can walk in the building and never ever open a door, a window. Amen. Come to where you're at this morning in this little tabernacle, and nobody else but you know He's in the house. Amen. Does anybody feel Him here today? I said, does anybody here feel that Spirit of God in this building today? Amen. Say amen. Amen. When Einstein proved this, amen, it really rattled the scientific community. And the reason is, at that place and time of his life, Darwin's theory of evolution was so profound that men believed that the universe was eternal. They did not want God to be eternal, but they wanted the universe to be eternal. Amen. Because if the universe was eternal, it would not need a cause. Because the fundamental law of science is the law of causality, which says everything that has a beginning must have a cause. So if this world, time,
time, space, and matter had a beginning, then it had to have a cause. Amen. I could have told them that a long time ago. Amen. If Albert Einstein would have picked up the Bible in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. I said, in the beginning, God. Somebody say amen now. Hallelujah. Y'all looking at me now. Wait. Well, hold on. Just hold on. He also proved something else. He also proved, if his theory was to be correct, that not only did the universe have a beginning, but that the universe would be expanding. All right. The year was 1929. At the Mount Wilson Observatory in Pasadena, California, there was a scientist by the name of Dr. Edwin Hubble. Has anybody ever heard that name, Hubble? The Hubble Space Telescope was named after Dr. Hubble. Amen. But in 1929, looking through his telescope, he noticed an interesting thing among the stars. He noticed a red light shift. Amen. And I don't ask me to explain all that, but he noticed a red light shift. And this proved that the universe, in fact, was expanding and getting bigger. Not only was it getting bigger, but that it was beyond our, amen, Milky Way galaxy. Up to that point, men had believed that our galaxy was the only one out there. He proved that the universe, amen, is expanding and that it goes far beyond our own. In 1931, Albert Einstein went to that same observatory, looked through that same telescope, and said, without a doubt, the universe is expanding and it is getting bigger. Amen. Every day it's getting bigger. Not only is it getting bigger, but it is getting bigger at a, amen, rapid rate of speed, meaning it is gaining speed as it gets bigger. Today it's here at 10 miles an hour. Then tomorrow it's there at 20, and the next day it's there at 30. Amen. Albert Einstein finally said, I want to know what God was thinking. The rest are details. Here again, I'd like to hand him this book right here and say, right here, sir, is the answer to the questions that you have. Amen. It is now estimated. Cosmologists have estimated. Amen. You know, has anybody ever gone out in the sky at night? You looked up in that sky, Brother Tim, and you see the stars, and you feel like you just can step from one star to the next, or you can just reach out and touch one and then touch another. What you probably don't realize is the average distance between any two stars in the universe is 30 trillion miles. Amen, 30 trillion miles. If we were to get on the now decommissioned space shuttle, traveling at the rate of speed that it does in when it was in orbit, 18,000 miles an hour. Amen. 18,000 miles an hour, 5 miles per second. It would take us approximately 201,450 years to go from star A to star B. Now, how'd you like to load the family up for a Sunday afternoon drive? Can't you hear the youngin' now, Brother Joy? Daddy, are we there yet? Daddy, how much longer we got to ride? Amen. The average distance between any two stars is 30 trillion miles. Amen. And it is now estimated that the number of stars in the known universe is equivalent to the numbers, amen, the number of grains of sand on every beach around the world. Amen. Amen. And you're looking at me and saying, preacher, what relevance does that have to this service today? What relevance does that have, amen, for my lost children? God said in Psalm 103, if you want to know how great my mercy is, look to the heaven above. For my mercy as the heaven is above the earth, so is my mercy. Amen. That's why I'm here to preach to you today. Amen. There is hope for your lost boy. Amen. There's hope for your lost daughter. Amen. I said there's hope for them today. Regardless of what the devil has said, amen, there is still hope. I said there is hope for your lost loved one. Come on now. Somebody say amen and help me while I preach. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. We see them out in sin today, and we wonder. Amen, Brother Gabbard, a few weeks ago I was preaching at Liberty, Amen. There, Brother David knows. And Matthew was there. Amen. Your nephew, is that right? Amen. Sister Ann, but I guess you're married to her, so I guess that makes him yours too. Amen. Sister Ann, I brought that boy up there. I'm telling you, he was bad off, wasn't he? Amen. I said, son, I know there are times the devil beats you in the head and said you don't have a right to praise God. You know how sorry no good you are, or you were. You know what you've done. I said, this is what I want you to do, Matthew. The next time the devil tells you that, walk outside at night, look up at the starry sky, point up there and say, devil, look up there. You see that massive universe? That's how great my God's mercy is. Amen. And I have got a right to shout. I have got a right to praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, there's mercy for your lost loved one today, and they can be saved. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost on my spirit right now. The devil's lied to you. God's mercy is great.
All right. Audience participation. You've already raised your hand. Who raised your hand again and say, yes, I've got a lost loved one out there, and the devil has tried to torment my mind and say, there's no hope. He told you that? I mean, you holiness preacher, and said there's no hope? I got a little exercise for you. Amen. Sometime tonight after the service is over, walk out in this Georgia flat country. Look up in that starry sky above. Amen. Count those stars if you can, and tell the devil you see that. Amen. That's how great my God's mercy is. Amen. Toward them that are lost, and there is hope. Amen. You're not helping me right now. Amen. But I got out. You know it wouldn't hurt if every one of you, amen, went outside and looked up toward heaven. Amen. And so I'm telling you, Brother Gabbard, amen, there's one thing that we are losing in the holiness ranks today, and that is a recognition of how great that our God really is. Amen. If God can hang all of that out there, I dare say He's able to meet any need that you got. And this, I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody help me right now. I said, I wish somebody would throw up their hand and say, thank God there's hope. Amen. Thank God there's still mercy to be found.
I thought, as you were preaching about the rooms in this house, in that room of forgiveness, there have been times since I've been saved, since you've been saved, that God would have been justified in kicking every one of us out of church and never letting us back in again. But you know why we're here today? Look up to that sky above. See if you can measure it. Amen. If you can, then you'll understand how great mercy is, and you'll understand why, amen, you're in this building today. Amen. Somebody say amen now. I tell you, if you hurry and help me here, it won't take near as long. Praise God. Amen. But somebody, you're sitting here today. I'm going to ask for some more audience participation. You're sitting here today and seem like the more you pray, the harder you pray, Brother Shrouder, the worse they get. I said, the more evil they become. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I said, you pray and you pray and you pray. Amen. But it seemed like the more you pray, the more wicked and vile, amen, they become. And the devil said, what good is all that praying going to do? Amen. What good is it going to do? They're getting worse. Amen. They're getting so bad that even God wouldn't be able to save them. Amen. But do you remember what, amen, that Einstein predicted? Do you remember what Hubble discovered? Amen. They discovered that the universe is getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger. Amen. And God said, my mercy is like the universe. It's getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger. Amen. I never understood it until I looked at the stars. Paul said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. They may be getting getting worse and worse, but the mercy of God is getting greater. I said getting greater. I said it's getting greater. Amen and greater. Amen. And the grace of God and the mercy of God is always one step ahead.
They're seeing. Can the church say amen? I do not want to offer a false hope. Cosmologists have predicted that the universe will one day come to what is known as heat death. It will literally burn out. It's clearly what Peter referred to in 2 Peter chapter 3, when the heavens will melt with the fervent heat. Peter knew that before Einstein, any cosmologist ever came along. Amen. So I understand, Brother Isaacs, that the day will come when that the mercy of God will be cut off. Amen. But as long as there's time, space, and matter, and as long as there's heaven above, God said, so is my mercy. Do you understand now in Psalm 136, where the psalmist, every verse he ended, for his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. For his mercy endureth forever. You know what I'd like to see right now? I'd like to see somebody that the devil's been tormenting your mind, telling you that they'll not be saved. They cannot be saved. I'd like to see your hand up in the air saying, oh, yes, devil. Amen. My lost boy can be saved. My lost daughter can be saved. And if you don't believe it, look at that universe above. Amen. Number the stars if you can. And God said, that's how great that my mercy is. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. The devil is a liar. You hear me? And yes, Brother Gabbard, in this last hour, God is going to save. I said, God is going to bring in. And the reason he is because his mercy is. We feel the burden of the Lord for Burma, 90% Buddhist, India, Hindu. And for all of my burden to go there, I'm consoled by the fact, Brother Peach, that right here, the mercy of God endureth forever. Whew. Whew. I'm feeling religious right now. Help me right now, Lord. I'm feeling religious. Amen. But you're sitting here today and the devil's lied to you and said they'll never be saved. There's no hope. Amen. Devil, look up in that sky above. Look at that marvelous universe. Thank God there is hope. You hear me? I said, thank God there is hope. Amen. That in this last hour, God's going to bring your boy in. I said, God's going to bring your daughter in. Hallelujah. Might even be your husband. Might even be your grandchild. Might even be your mama. Might even be your daddy. Amen. Because the mercy of God is so... Oh, somebody raise your hand right now. Amen. I want everybody, amen, to get on their feet right now. Put your hand in the air and praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I'd like to hear somebody say, thank God there is hope. Amen. Devil, you are a liar. Thank God there is hope. There is hope for my lost. There is hope. Come on, church.
Do you know one of the reasons, Brother Watson, that the devil tries to keep our head down? Because if we ever look up, we'll see how great his mercy is. And our hand will go up and we'll scream out, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. There is hope for my lost loved one. There is hope, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I declare right now, I don't hardly know if it'd be out of order. Somebody come out of their pew right now with their hands up saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth. I know you're ready to go get a Bible, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. The devil said they'll never be saved. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Well, they could have gone too far. Praise the Lord, for his mercy. Look up, church. I said, look up and see the glory of God.
and see how great that His mercy. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Endureth forever. Say it again. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Endureth forever.